sliceofsci-fi.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. This is Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Austin Basis, who plays J.T. Forbes on the CW's Beauty and the Beast. According to the internets, which are never wrong, he is the television's number one superhero sidekick right now.
Thank you. I appreciate the honor, and the internet is always right. So, it's validated.
So, how are you enjoying your upcoming, recording for your third season? Because everyone was so afraid that this show wouldn't survive the dreaded first season doldrums, and now here you are going into season three.
Well, I've always been a fan of the underdog. I'm a New York Mets fan, so if anyone knows the history of the New York Mets, they know
I feel your pain.
So I'm also a Knicks fan and a Rangers fan. So I think Knicks more so are underdogs lately. But anyway, yeah. So I think we're the underdog show of the CW, and there's a sense within the show that it's us against the world. And between Vincent, Catherine, JT, Tess, us against the world, and I think that's translated to the Beasties, and so the fans of the show have really taken on that anthem as referring to them, and then against the critics or other fandoms or whatever it may be, the rest of the world. And fought tooth and nail to get not only a second season, but now a third season, and hopefully more People's Choice Awards and, any type of poll award voting show that they can get their hands on, because they're self-promoting fools, and they've really, through this experience, the hardships of being a fan of an underdog show and a perpetual bubble show, have really become what I like to call a family. So, to the point where they've met up with each other, they've kind of thrown away the protections of social media and actually gone out in the real world and traveled the world and the country to see each other and to hang out and to meet each other, all because of our show. And I think that's only positive for the future of our show.
Now, have you gone out on the convention circuit and met with any of the Beasties there?
Oh yeah, I've crashed a couple of their, what they call them, Beastie Roundup. So they've done them at Comic-Con in San Diego. I went to the one last year, kind of surprised them. And there was a Beastie roundup in Irvine this past summer that I was in touch with one of the fans that was organizing it, and she said there was going to be 30 or 40 fans from around the world, some from South Africa, people coming in from England, and Irvine is an hour from LA, so I didn't have anything else going on at that particular day and time, and so I thought it would be fun, and it would give me a chance to put some faces with a lot of the Twitter names that I've come to know over the years.
That's awesome. So is there anything coming up on season three that you can divulge without getting yourself in trouble?
Probably nothing. But, the show picks up. We've only seen four episodes. We were in the middle of shooting the third one, and we've gotten the early draft of the script for the fourth one. And all I could really say is, there's a lot, but we pick up 2 months afterwards, after the where we left off, Vincent and Catherine are trying to move on with their normal lives as a couple and have gelled to a degree into the daily, you know, the daily ins and outs of a normal life. Vincent is back on track to be a doctor. Catherine is, you know, doing her thing at the precinct. But these DHS agents from the end of the second season have been pursuing Catherine to get an answer, because their offer was, you know, come help us to fight these unknown forces that Vincent and Catherine don't know about, and that these guys are tracking, and so that they need the power of the coupling of Vincent and Catherine that is the kind of the secret weapon to their battle against these superhuman forces or supernatural forces out there. And so their initial storyline is to figure out how they're going to do that, whether they're going to take them up on the offer. And it's a debate, a back and forth of having this normal life as a couple that they've been fighting for the past 2 years to achieve and to live, but at the same time answering their call, the call of destiny and the call of their you know, bigger purpose in life, to fight these evil forces or these powers that be that are doing what they did to Vincent, to other people, to innocent people. And so at the same time, JT, to speak from my point of view, is struggling with his near-death experience and how he was, saved, and, you know, what tracking himself in his recovery and not being able to answer some key questions as a scientist that he should be able to answer, that's now affecting him emotionally and impeding his getting back into the real world and re-entering society, you know, getting back to teaching class and living a normal life with Tess in Relationshipville. And so on JT's end, he's still able to help Kat and Vincent in their struggles and battles, but he's all the while studying himself and figuring out what the serum was that he was injected with, how it works. Is he different now? Has it affected him in any way that it maybe affected Vincent? And making sure that if that doesn't get in the way of him and Tess pursuing their relationship and continuing on their path. And so, yeah, there's an arc, a cool arc for JT to figure out. He's always seems to get into harm's way, so that's always the unlucky aspect of it. But I like to think it's because the fans love JT, and when he's in trouble, then that's when people are like drawn in and want him to be saved. So yeah, there's a fun little arc for him, trying to figure out what's going on with him biologically, but also emotionally with Tess. And Tess has her own, obviously, her own journey, dealing with this stuff, trying to get back to her normal life and trying to work her way up to captain in the precinct. And there's a fun scene also in where Tess brings JT to meet her brother. Her brother, she has many brothers, but one of her brothers is having a birthday party. And she brings JT to meet them for the first time, and the birthday party just so happens to be at a shooting range. So. Hilarity ensues.
Well, consider this like sidekick training. Eventually, you can be the superhero as well. How's that?
Oh yeah, totally. I like to think of JT as the unconventional hero, and the unconventional, leading man was maybe too strong, but he's the unconventional superhero. He does everything that a normal person could do, you know, whether it's building bombs, hacking, shooting trench guns, creating serums, making antidotes, et cetera, and surviving some pretty nasty throws and spills and hits, and, you know, he's not done with being the punching bag for a couple of the adversaries that Vincent and Catherine face in the next couple episodes. So that should be fun, and I have to thank my stunt double.
Well, the sign of a good superhero support system is having lots and lots of heart and keep coming back to take those knocks.
Yep, that's JT.
So what else do you have going on outside of the show?
Well, being in Toronto to film, my work visa only allows for me to work on Beauty and the Beast while I'm up here. And to be honest, I've been fairly busy. JT has been heavily involved in the first several episodes, so, which is definitely good and a good sign for the fans who enjoy my work, because I enjoy working. So the only other thing that I've made it a point to participate in is I have type 1 diabetes, and so I've participated in a few JDRF events. I'm a JDRF ambassador,
mm-hmm.
Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and I've done a couple of events up here, and I've done a couple in LA, and so when I can, I make myself available to speak and meet kids with type 1 diabetes, and to help raise money, but also to, you know, show kids like I was back in the 80s when I was diagnosed that they're capable of living a normal life, that their diagnosis doesn't have to be an impediment to what they want to do with their lives, to, you know, to achieving or pursuing their dreams, that it's actually an advantage to a degree, because they get, you know, the early lessons in life and living and managing their diabetes that most kids don't have to deal with. Yes, they have to grow up a little quicker, but at the same time, they're acquiring life skills that and career skills that might put them in a position that I think will prove to be beneficial when they, you know, when they're going for that dream job or practicing to be a major leaguer or a musician. And so all those skills that have been forced upon them by a genetically predisposed disease have now guided them to possibly a successful career in whatever profession they or career they see fit.
Are there any upcoming events where people could support you or support the foundation?
No, well, my brother is running the New York City Marathon on the JDRF team, and he's raised over $3,500 to do that. I mean, donations, they accept donations all year round. There's a walk in L.A., a JDRF walk in L.A. in the coming months that raises, you know, upwards of $1 to $2 million. And so anytime they can go on jdrf.org and donate. And there is one thing I should say, because it's fan driven. They raised over $15,000 in March for the JDRF in the name of the show and my name, and to continue on their path to promote the show, but also raise awareness and money for diabetes research. They are creating an international cookbook from fans around the world and some of the cast and crew, and donating it or selling it as a gift for certain donations to the JDRF. And they're in the process of finalizing the recipes that are in the book right now. And so I believe that'll be available later in November or December, or hopefully just in time for the holidays so that people mm-hmm. can buy them.
Awesome.
And give them and raise a ton of money. So
excellent. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for your time today. I know you're busy filming up there, up north. People can find Austin, austinbasis.com. He's also very active on Twitter, very entertaining. I suggest everyone go check him out, go follow it. It's at austinbasis. And of course, the hashtag KingBeastie.
That's right, of course. That was not myself. That was not. I didn't crown myself. Be clear about that. Someone, I don't know,
Yeah.
started calling me, and I guess it stuck. And hey, I'm not going to deny it.
Hey, when the fans give you your own hashtag that sticks, just revel in it. Revel in it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. And again, everybody, check out Austin Basis online and just w sit back and wait for season 3 to just get
I
up
know.
and going.
Season 3. Enjoy. It's going to be a fun ride.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
SliceOfSciFi.com.